time for Football Friday with Bill Savage. Presented by Boyd's Royal Knight on Government Boulevard in Mobile. Featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis, and insights. The winners, the losers. Get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
And here we go. It is a Football Friday with our buddy Phil Savage, general manager of the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF. Also, analyst extraordinaire for pick the division. He may even start doing some Pop Warner stuff. I know he college and pro football analyst extraordinaire and host of Football Philosophy, his podcast, and author of Fourth and Goal Every Day. And most importantly, our buddy Phil Savage joins us now for a Football Friday. Hey, Phil.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I guess I can continue to wish you a happy new year. At what point do we have to stop saying that?
Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras. Yeah, we can do that till Mardi Gras.
Good enough. Well, nevertheless, we've been pointing to this particular Football Friday for a while. I am on the banks of the Paseo del Rio, the Riverwalk in San Antonio.
Awesome.
As the hot shots begin in earnest later today.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because we've been leading up to this, talk about the building of the team for the Hotshots. Remind folks when they're going to be able to see some Hotshots football. When are they going to be able to watch this on TV?
Well, we start training camp tomorrow on the field. We're out here for 4 weeks, and then Saturday and Sunday, February 9th and February 10th, is the opening weekend of the Alliance of American Football. That's the weekend after the Super Bowl. So there will be two games on that Saturday. The first game that you can see on CBS will be the Atlanta Legends against the Steve Spurrier-led Orlando Apollos on that Saturday night. And then we open up on Sunday against the Salt Lake Stallions, February 10th.
All right. We'll talk more about that and remind folks as we go through the next month or so to be ready that when the Super Bowl is over, that doesn't mean football is over. So that is, we can continue. And thank you. Thank you for that, because I don't want to give up this habit anytime soon. But we have a game, some games to talk about in the rear view and a game to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And Dalton, even Dalton's got questions.
Yeah, even me. And Phil, you know, I love talking to you every Friday about everything going on in college football. And before we get to those semifinal games and the championship coming up on Monday night, I got to ask you about them Auburn Tigers. Got a 63-14 win over Purdue up in Nashville in the Music City Bowl. Auburn scored a bowl record 56 points in the first half, and then even set an SEC bowl record with those 63 points in the win. What changed with Auburn? Where did this come from? You think it'll maybe carry into next season?
Well, I think they certainly hope it will. And of course, this was the first game that Gus Malzahn took over the play calling duties. I think the bottom line reality is that Auburn's offensive line had probably their best performance of the year. It appeared that it was against an outmatched, undermanned Purdue defensive front. You throw in some turnovers, and the rout was on there in the second quarter. But it was good to see Jarrett Stidham end on a high note. Of course, later this month, he's scheduled to be down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, which will be an important week for him. But I think for Auburn, it's a one-game, you know, great feeling, but the question still persists this upcoming offseason. What happens at quarterback? I think they've got their tailback in Jartavius Whitlow, but the reality of it is that what do they do with the quarterback position? Who is the answer there? Is it Bo Nix, who's the incoming true freshman who's been down in Orlando for one of the All-American high school games? Is it Malik Willis? That's going to be the number one question for Auburn this offseason.
And you mentioned Stidham there, but before we got into this season, he was mentioned as maybe even going in the first round of this year's NFL draft, being a high-caliber quarterback. Obviously, the season didn't go as planned for Stidham. He kind of dropped down those draft boards. But do you think with that win, and certainly the Senior Bowl will be important for him, but do you think it did much to improve his draft stock?
You know, I think that the reality for Jarrett is that NFL teams will look at him as a standalone talent, and they'll try to evaluate him as an individual. In other words, what does he bring to the table as an individual prospect? He's got arm ability. He's got a strong arm. He's been accurate at times. And I think he's going to get a bit of a pass, because of what happened around him. I think people question Auburn's offensive line. They know their run game was not as good. There were some failings around him as compared to last year. And look, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback, you're supposed to be able to lift everybody around you. But these are college players. So I think he'll get a bit of a pass because he does have intriguing arm strength. And I think coming into the year, realistically, he was probably a second-round type of choice. And I would bet that it ends up not being too far from that when push comes to shove by the time we get to April, because he does have a good personality. He did transfer into a major university and start for 2 years. One season was better than the other, but I would still guess that he's going to be a relatively high draft pick.
All right, let's talk about the college football playoff and those semifinal games that were played on Saturday. You had number 2 Clemson beating number 3 Notre Dame 30-3 in the Cotton Bowl, and following that, of course, number 1 Alabama beating number 4 Oklahoma 45-34 in the Orange Bowl. Now, for Clemson, the defense shut down Notre Dame's offense. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, and that freshman wide receiver who many thought was going to go to Alabama, Justin Ross, they all had big games on offense. In the other game, Bama ran away with that huge first-half lead thanks to Tua's arm and then held it together when Kyler Murray tried to stage a comeback. But going into this game on Monday night, I don't think Alabama's faced a defensive line like Clemson's to this point, and I don't think Clemson's faced an offense or defense as good as Bama's. Which position group do you think is most important to each of these teams to get the win in Monday night's game?
I think there's probably two unit battles to really focus on. Number one is going to be that Alabama offensive line against the Clemson defensive front, because everything with Clemson football centers around the defensive front on that side of the ball and the quarterback position on the offensive side of things. Clemson relies on that front four to control the run. They also rely on that front four to create pressure on the quarterback so that they can play 7 defenders against the pass. Couple linebackers to keep an eye on: Isaiah Simmons and Kendall Joseph. Those are Clemson's first and second ranked tacklers. Because of the work of that defensive front, those guys are allowed to range and roam all over the field. They're fast to the football, and of course, that's what has allowed them to be those top tacklers for this team. So Bama's offensive line against that front, and then on the flip side, I do think it's Clemson's big playability at the wide receiver position against Alabama's secondary. And you saw what happened in the Notre Dame game. In the second quarter, Clemson launched the ball up the field, downfield, and Notre Dame could not get it on the ground. Clemson's receivers came down with the football on a number of occasions, several of which went for touchdowns. Clemson's going to challenge and do the same thing to the Alabama secondary, whether it's Savion Smith outside or Patrick Surtain on the other side, or even Shaheem Carter in the slot. Clemson made the move to Trevor Lawrence the fourth week of the season when they shifted from Kelly Bryant and went to Trevor Lawrence with this game in mind. They began with the end in mind because the end of the season was going to present Alabama, and they knew they had to be able to throw the football better than they were under Bryant. They thought that Trevor Lawrence could do that. He's delivered, and that'll be the biggest challenge for Alabama on Monday night.
You know, a lot of people have Clemson and Alabama fatigue. I'm not one of those people. This will be the fourth year in a row that these teams play. Two of those were finals, and then last year Bama beat Clemson in the semifinal. In your opinion, is this the best matchup yet between the Tide and the Tigers?
You know, I would say on paper it probably is, because I really don't have a good sense of which way this game's going to go. I would consider it a toss-up kind of contest. The thing that jumped out to me over the bowl season and then Saturday during the playoffs is the fact that Alabama and Clemson are head and shoulders above everybody else in college football. Ohio State on their best day could stay on the field with Bama and Clemson, but everybody else is playing for third. There's no doubt in my mind about it. When you consider the front line that Bama presents and then their quarterback play with Tua Tagovailoa, both of these teams are equipped along the defensive line and at the quarterback position, and those have been the two factors that have really set them apart from everybody else.
Now, this doesn't come from the serious side, but it comes from, well, people that are serious about it on social media. I guess if you can't beat them, regulate them. We saw a lot of posts on social media, the wife and I, about that Alabama and Clemson should be relegated to a smaller number of 4- and 5-star recruits. They should have some kind of handicap going into recruiting.
Well, the thing here's the deal. We're sitting here talking in 2019. We could very well be talking next year on the eve of the national championship game, and it could be Clemson and Alabama again, because Trevor Lawrence conceivably could be the first pick in the 2021 draft. Tua Tagovailoa could be the first pick in next year's 2020 NFL draft. So these two teams aren't going away. They're recruiting at a high level. They develop players at a high level. And again, it's a two-team world, and we're all living in it right now.
That's for sure. And we're glad to have your advice on it. Remind folks once again, too, if they want to catch the Arizona Hotshots playing ball, when's that first game?
First game for us is February 10th. That's the Sunday after the Super Bowl. CBS Sports, CBS Sports Net, and then, of course, your streaming devices will have every single game of the Alliance season for 10 weeks starting that weekend through the championship in Las Vegas, April the 27th. And I said a moment ago, you begin with the end in mind. This is where I was in June thinking about the Hot Shots in conjunction with Bama Radio. I'm like, if Bama makes it all the way to the end, I'm going to be in a real conflict. And so here we are. I'm in San Antonio, and it's worked out really well for everybody involved.
And remind folks, too, if they have not, for some reason, picked up a copy of Fourth and Go Every Day, or they have not picked it up for that loved one that would love it, how do they get a copy of your book?
I think right now the best way is just to go online, either Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million. All of those outlets have them either on the shelves or via online shopping. And then, of course, locally, Page & Palette's been a huge supporter of the book. They still have some copies over there in Fairhope as well.
Great stuff. Phil, we can't wait to talk to you next week and get your dissection of Monday night's game. So I'll probably even bug you before then.
Guys, I appreciate it. It's been fun all season. I've got a meeting here at 8:30. I'm going to jump downstairs, and we will catch up next Friday once again.
There we go. Phil Savage and Football Friday brought to you by Boyd's Royal Knight. Check them out today. Get the new year started right at Boyd's Royal Knight. You like that? There's a
love it.
Yeah, very good stuff. All right, 8:20. We'll be right back. At 8:23, FM Talk 106.5. Coming up, we're going to unveil the Alabamian of the Year for 2018. The voting is done. Our Swiss judges, they used to have the Swiss, for some reason they were like better. Swiss judges are tabulating the results, and we'll roll those out in just a second. Heads up, new year, same great events happening at Cottage Hill Package, Sierra Nevada's brewing company, the granddaddy, I would say, in the craft brewing world. They're coming to town January 17th. That is a Thursday night to Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. They're going to be out with samples of their Brute IPA. I hope it doesn't smell like Brute cologne.
I don't think it does.
Their Resilience Butte County Proud IPA, their Sierra Vesa Lager, their Narwhal Imperial Stout, and some other surprises. You know, it's cool, too. You come out to these events like we have in the past, and you come out and you get to sample the beer, and then quite often they have swag, like stickers or hats or those kind of things. So if you're a fan of a particular brewery, it's a chance to get that gear.
Yeah, I love that because I have a beer fridge that I take craft beer stickers and other swag.
Logo.
And put that on the beer fridge. A lot of people have, you know, beer coolers that they put the stickers on. So tons of great stuff at Cottage Hill Package.
I have a cooler that's completely held together by stickers. And that's the only reason it's a second skin for it. But listen, this event coming up on Thursday, January 17th from 6 to 8, free event at Cottage Hill Package. Now, even before then, go by, check out the great selection of craft beers. Also, get one of those crowlers to go. I got some of those for the Christmas holidays. Got some crowlers and then some different beers in six packs that I had not had before. Shared it with family and friends over the holidays. If you got a party coming up, some event, maybe you're going to be watching a football game Monday night, maybe stock up before then. Cottage Hill Package, online at cottagehillpackage.com. Find them at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, or make sure to like them on Facebook. All right, 825 FM Talk 106.5. We're pretty close to announcing Alabama of the Year. Are you sweating this? Anybody? No?
No.
I am.
I have a good feeling I know who will win right now.
Well, and I don't think you have to sweat it too much, because throughout the process, you get to see the percentage of who's been in the lead, how the leads may swap.
Yes.
Especially if someone, you know, throws in his opinions about who he thinks should win.
Runs everybody the wrong way. Yeah, that's what I do.
I didn't name names. I was just saying.
I know who I am. So we'll get to that here after the break. I do want to run through a couple things. Number one, story I tweeted out from The Hill a little bit earlier. You know, a lot of discussion of seating of yesterday's Congress and all the different, you know, people went through all the diversity in the Congress and, you know, all the different groups as we balkanize ourselves in the country that are represented. Here's one that I want to throw into the mix. In Congress, this tweet from Representative Brian Mast.
Yeah, I saw that. It's beautiful.
Listen to this, y'all. You see the tweet. Five eyes, five arms, four legs. All American. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Congress. And what you're looking at is three veterans that have suffered injuries that, obviously by the stats there, they've lost eyes and legs and in service of our country. They are now back in service of our country. When does it end for these guys? Back in service of our country in the Congress. Mast, 36 years old, U.S. Army veteran who lost the lower part of his legs during an explosion in Afghanistan while working as a bomb technician. Former President Obama invited Mast as a guest to his 2011 State of the Union address, where he sat in the front row with former First Lady Michelle Obama. Baird, 73, served in the Army during the Vietnam War, lost his left arm. And Crenshaw, 34, a former Navy SEAL, who, are they ever former? Aren't they like Marines? Are always kind of, maybe they're not currently.
You're a former Marine when you've been honorably discharged. You're an ex-Marine when you've been dishonorably discharged.
I've just always thought they're, even when they have been honorably discharged, they're always Marines.
Oh, once a Marine, always.
Yeah, they're always Marine. I would imagine the same probably for the SEALs, too. Says Crenshaw, 34, a former Navy SEAL who wears an eye patch ever since he was wounded in 2012 while serving in Afghanistan. He explained in a video last month he is very self-conscious about the glass eye he has. That's why he wears a patch. Mm-hmm. Crenshaw made national headlines in November after Saturday Night Live cast member Pete Davidson mocked him and his eye patch during a sketch.
And a sketch that was not funny at all.
Yeah, it's classless. Crenshaw later appeared on the show as Davidson made a public apology calling him a war hero. Freshman class was sworn in on Thursday and includes 22 new members who worked for the CIA or served in the military. And it's funny, we're talking about history repeating. I don't have the stats in front of me. This is off the top of my head, but I'll dig them up. You know, we have changed in the decades following World War II, the number of veterans that were serving in Congress, a high number of veterans serving in Congress, mm-hmm. and that has diminished over time, and now it's coming back. And, you know, if you have people in a situation where they're making decisions on whether we're going to get involved in this conflict, that conflict, whether troops come home or troops go out, those kind of, I feel better to know that we have, you know, make sure the right people are, don't just elect somebody because they're a veteran, make sure you get the right person for the job. But if we have two people that are equally qualified for the job and one is a veteran, I want that veteran in the job, and I want that person part of the conversation when we decide where we're going to risk life and limb.
But see, but that goes into what you've alluded to earlier about the diversity that we saw yesterday. That's diversity. That's the importance of diversity of not just experience, but of thought and, you know, of sexes and of race. And that's important because, you know, as our country looks so different, right? So it's important that those who are in positions of power who can help legislate rules and laws that impact so many, that it is reflective. And so that's why yesterday was being made such a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's why it's such a big deal how many women are now part of, the conversation or at the table, if you will. How many people of color, that was an important day yesterday. And so, but I was going to say back to the tweet. When I saw that tweet, I immediately started following him.
Yeah,
because
I did
it
too.
Was just
I did
that
too.
Powerful.
I did too. It's a heck of a tweet. Y'all go look at it on
really
Twitter
is.
Feed, and y'all want to follow this man as well. You know, and we'll talk about this some after the break. Where I'm not on the same page as kind of what has been reported in the mainstream media. I'm more interested in what's inside people, and mm-hmm. so it seems like. So much of the conversation of diversity is always about the outside. And I'm more interested in the thought, what goes on inside the mind. And I don't always believe those are analog. You know, we get told that they are analog, that somebody looks a certain way and they think a certain way. I just like the diversity of thought.
But the problem is sometimes when people look different, they're never invited into the party to allow you to understand what they're thinking. So that's why sometimes you have to work with your eyeballs and then hope that your earlobes are matched with what it is you were hoping for.
All right, we'll get your take on this when we get back at 343-0106.
.836 here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. I was on McConnellAutomotive.com not too long ago. You guys have some awesome-looking trucks on the lot. That new Sierra just looks bad.
Man, it is. You know, Dalton, one of the ones that I want everybody to check out is a thing called the new AT4 Sierra, and what's happening, Dalton, is they're really hard to get. We actually have a couple in stock, and most dealerships are sold out, and what it basically is a bad boy lifted right from the factory Sierra with the new body style, with that fancy tailgate, all the horsepower. Dalton, you can even get the bigger 6.2 engine that used to only come in a Denali, and I think, it is cool. It's got the red tow hooks on the front and the big wheels, and basically, you know, when you're driving around in it, your testosterone count just goes way up. it is so cool. It's all new, and Chevy doesn't have it, and of course if you're driving a Ford or a Dodge, those are great trucks. But I just want to invite everybody, check out the new Sierra at McConnell, and Dalton, we've got the 18 models left, so we are slinging those at incredible and ridiculous discounts. So it's a really great time to shop for our truck with hunting season and all that at McConnell.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you, Mitch.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew. They're at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Works on the text line or the phone line. I'd like to hear from you on a couple subjects here. Number one, the new Congress, although I mean, if you expect, and they're going to go through the motions again today to say, hey, we're going to pass a bill out of the House. Listen, it's not going to clear the Senate. It's not going to get the signature of the president. You also had Nancy Pelosi yesterday saying, let me get the right quote here, but it was something to the effect of, here it is, we're not doing a wall. Does anyone have any doubt we're not doing a wall? So, okay, that's not happening. You were talking about what if you got $1? Would you take $1? She said it's immoral. But, you know, when you say it's immoral, too, so two things. There's been some painting into corners, right? President Trump has painted himself into corners saying it's going to be a wall and that Mexico would pay for it. So he painted himself into a corner. And now when the Democrats say that the wall is immoral, they painted themselves into a corner because any funding for a wall, if they're going to go with that now, any funding for a wall would be immoral. $1 would be immoral, right? I mean, if $5 billion is immoral, if something's immoral, then $1 is immoral. So now they just paint themselves in the corner and they're going to stand there and look at each other.
Well, and I was just going to add, I think the reason why she so emphatically said it that way is because there's been so much flim-flamming on both sides. And it's like,
did you
look,
just say flim-flam?
I did. I did. And I think the American people are just exhausted as to what's going on. You know, really you want to know, when is the shutdown going to be over? When can furloughed people get back to work? When can government services get back to business? And when can we finalize this border security situation? I think it seems like there's more peace on both sides when you say border security, because it seems as if there's a total agreement.
Right.
Total agreement that you want to keep people who are not, you know, legally living in this country, you want to keep them out unless they go through the appropriate steps to legally enter the country. I think both sides can agree with that. But then the semantics.
What does that look like? Yeah.
Correct. And then the semantics and the optics of border wall versus slats, border security. It's just so much going on. And to start the new year, I think that we're just ready for change. We really are.
I truly wonder how long this shutdown could last, because right now it doesn't look like either side is going to crack on from what they've saying. Like you said, they've painted themselves in such corners, and there were even reports that right around New Year's that the president's administration were trying to get him to take a bit of a lesser deal, and he's still standing strong at that $5 billion mark. And like you said, the Democrats said they don't want to even give a dollar. I wonder if this could end up being the longest shutdown in history.
It might be. It's laid up because you have a president and President Trump who does not now he changes his mind a bunch. You can watch that. That's just truthful. But if he thinks he's going to lose face, I don't know that he would capitulate. And you have Democrats that seem to have, because we are so split in this country, which, or at least they want us to think we are, so split in this country, there's no reason to work on the middle ground because there doesn't seem to be as much middle ground. And by the way, we're going to announce the winner here in just a second for the 2018 Alabamian of the Year, so have that ready. We're going to go with it in a second. But first, I want to kind of roll through a couple things here. Number one, I was talking yesterday, I think Brendan Kirby was on the midday show with me, and we were talking about the push there early on to not have Nancy Pelosi be Speaker of the House. And the story's out that she was getting opposition from progressives within the Democrat Party. In other words, people to the left of Nancy Pelosi who didn't feel like she was left enough to be the Speaker of the House. And they ended up getting shut down because Nancy brings in the bacon to the DNC, and things are like they are now because of that. But there was at least an inkling of a movement, of a revolt with Democrats. And you wonder, to the left of Nancy Pelosi, for a lot of folks sitting in Mobile, Alabama, sitting in Gulf Shores, sitting in Robertson, they go, what the heck? but in the scheme of national Democrat politics, there are people to the left. And one of them I want to talk about, the most talked about, I would say, well, one of the most talked about new kids on the block, Ocasio-Cortez, showing up here and day one in Congress. She was sat down with Anderson Cooper, and she was talking about some of her ideas here. I want you to listen to this, so we'll roll this audio. Here's this about a minute and a half.
No use of fossil fuels within 12 years?
That is the goal. It's ambitious. And
how is that possible? Are you talking about everybody having to drive an electric car?
It's going to require a lot of rapid change that we don't even conceive as possible right now. What is the problem with trying to push our technological capacities to the furthest extent possible?
This would require the raising taxes.
There's an element where, yeah, people are going to have to start paying their fair share in taxes.
Do you have a specific on the tax rate?
You know, you look at our tax rates back in the 60s, and when you have a progressive tax rate system, your tax rate, you know, let's say from zero to $75,000 may be 10% or 15%, et cetera. But once you get to like the tippy tops, on your 10 millionth dollar, sometimes you see tax rates as high as 60 or 70%. That doesn't mean all $10 million are taxed at an extremely high rate, but it means that as you climb up this ladder, you should be contributing more.
What you are talking about, just big picture, is a radical agenda compared to the way politics is done right now.
Well, I think that it only has ever been radicals that have changed this country. Abraham Lincoln made the radical decision to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the radical decision to embark on establishing programs like Social Security. That is radical.
Do you call yourself a radical?
Yeah, you know, if that's what radical means, call me a radical.
All right, so where may the opposition to the left or the more progressive Nancy Pelosi come from? There's a voice. So it's just interesting. It didn't amount to enough traction to keep Nancy Pelosi from the speakership, but it's one of those things going on out there. All right, grab some phone calls, and first up, Clifford is in Mobile. Hey, Clifford.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Kelly and Sean. How y'all guys doing?
And Dalton.
Good morning.
We're good.
How long do you figure that the American people, even the ones that are unenlightened, going to start to drift away from the Democrat Party? The things that Nancy Pelosi is saying, most people ought to be aware. Do you remember DACA?
I do, and we're having a little trouble hearing you, Clifford. Are you on the hands-free, or can you get a lot of road noise in there?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's better. There's Clifford in full high-definition sound. Great. That sounds great.
Well, it's all they jump on things, and then when it's not useful for them, they'll drop them.
So you think they're dropping DACA?
Yeah, the DACA program went, I mean, at first that was all that was on television. That was all on television. We need to do something about the DACA people. Okay, now that they are not useful or conducive to the cause, they drop them and pick up something else. How long before border security? Border security doesn't mean anything. A wall is a definite plan. How long before people realize border security, that means she means not doing anything?
I have no answer for that, Clifford. I appreciate your call. Let me go to John in Mobile next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. All inclusive enough to Kelly Dalton.
Thank you.
Hey, John.
Thank
you.
Okay. That woman is dangerous because she's crazy and she's got some power. I know, Kelly, you were talking earlier about people want to know when the government's going to be reopened. I don't care. I really don't.
Why not?
Because nobody cares about me when I'm trying to get my bills collected from the people I do business with. Every time somebody like Ms. Cortez decides to, you know, they want to raise taxes, she doesn't care about me. I'm a small business owner. She doesn't give a rip about me. But she thinks I'm a bottomless pit of money. And to the people in the government, everybody always worries about the people in the government. I'm sorry. It's time to start worrying about the American people.
Well, that's who I was talking about, actually. I was talking about the furloughed workers. Those are the people who want to know.
They're going to get paid.
No.
They're going to get all their back pay.
That's not necessarily...
100%.
It has happened.
It has happened in the past, but we don't know if that's going to happen again this with this shutdown.
I would put money on it. It will. But
I hope so.
Yeah. I would put money on it. But see, the thing about what the Democrats are trying to do is separate Trump from his voters. If he caves on the wall, he's a one-term president, and that's what they want. The Democrats do not give a crap about the country. They are party first. That's what they.
Well, I would argue. Okay, yeah. let me throw this. I would argue that anybody who, but there's Republicans that are party first too. I mean, that's why I've cast a pox on both houses. That okay. There's a lot of people that are way more about party.
I'll grant you some of that. But,
okay.
You know the genteel woman from I don't know where she's from that she's the one that said we're going to impeach the MFer last night.
Yeah, from Michigan.
From Michigan.
The new freshman congresswoman.
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah.
I think she's the one that violated immigration law and married her brother to get him in the country.
Is that true? I mean, I think it is.
I know she was arrested. She was arrested as a protester when President Trump came to Michigan. She was arrested. Outside of that,
I would check that brother thing. I don't. I'm not saying it's not a thing. I just have not heard that.
They don't care. And the thing about illegal immigrants and the wall, it's very important to me now, even more so because I've got a son that's a police officer, and I look at that the tragedy of the thing in California where the police officer got shot. His blood is on Nancy Pelosi and all the Democrats' hands, period.
There we go.
Because that illegal immigrant should have been stopped.
Can you stop every, even though, and I will say this, I mean, even if you have a wall, will you stop every person? I get it. I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, I don't know that, you stop every person. But yes, do you slow people down? Absolutely. John, appreciate the call, and we'll come right back. We got people holding. We'll come to you. But the Swiss judges have told me it is time to make the announcement for the 2018 Alabamian of the Year. Pretty high honors here.
And as the page finishes its final refreshment, and uh-huh. I'm going to the Swiss judges now, and they're coming into my ear, and it looks like the high stepping turkeys, Clyde and Henrietta, have run away with the 2018 Alabamian. They have trotted away with the Alabamian of the year. They ended up, and it was close this morning. Lots of votes came in late on the high stepping turkeys. They win 73% to Jeff Sessions, 27%.
So just me lamenting the fact that they were ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if Sessions got another vote after you asked for people to go out and vote for Jeff.
Appreciate
Sessions.
That, y'all. Thanks a whole bunch here. There it is, Clyde and Henrietta.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
And Governor Ivey, you can also say they are the FM Talk 106.5 2018 Alabamians turkey things of the year.
So the people win that soundbite for what, an entire year? It may randomly pop up in different shows.
It opens up Midday Mobile every hour of every weekday. So speaking of which, we'll do that show at noon today. Coming right back, grab some calls and texts. 343-0106, you bunch of turkeys.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
I don't think they realized what kind of year they were going to have. They got pardoned from the Bates Turkey Farm. They didn't have to go on somebody's Thanksgiving table. Next thing you know, they're the 2018 Alabamians of the Year. Clyde and Henrietta, the high-stepping turkeys.
They were radio gold when they first stepped into the scene.
Yep, and we pay attention to what the governor says around here. Maybe not all the news agencies in the state do, but some of us, like me, have a problem. We obsess on things, and it's probably my fault that happened.
Do you think if the governor knew that she would be outvoted by those very same turkeys that she pardoned, that she would have done?
She'd have to the slaughterhouse with you.
For sure. She would have canceled that pardon if she'd known that they would win Alabamian of the Year, and she wouldn't even be in the semifinals.
Big time. When turkeys kick you out, when you're governor of the state of Alabama and turkeys kick you out.
Do you think they serve regular bacon as part of their hors d'oeuvres at their victory party?
Ooh.
the other critters that they're not? Yeah. All right. Go to the phones at 343-0106 and Pastor Robert up next. Hey, Pastor.
Hey, Sean, how you and the guys doing? Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and ladies, and all of that. How's everybody?
I'm doing well. Great. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Hey, very good. Hey, Sean. Hey, man, I think I have the perfect solution to this situation with this border wall and all this animosity on both parties.
Good, because we need the help.
Hey, look, let's just say that I came down to your radio station. I invited you guys to go to Ridley to wash the house, and we ordered a meal, like maybe $250, and at the end of the meal, instead of me saying, I have the money to pay for it, I tell you guys, hey, man, look, I don't have the money. You guys go ahead and pay for it for me, and I'll pay you guys back later. That would probably raise a lot of eyebrows.
Oh, you're a pastor. You're a pastor. You're good for it. If a pastor says it, you're good for it. But if you're just Robert, I don't know. But
yeah, and that'll raise a lot of eyebrows. And I say that because of this. President Trump specifically stated that Mexico would pay for the wall. And I just think the perfect solution is, well, why don't you go get a promissory note from the Mexican authorities or government in writing stating that Mexico will reimburse the U.S. for the money for the wall. And once we get that, go ahead and give the president $25 billion or whatever he needs to really go ahead and secure our nation.
Right, but Pastor, you know this.
I really feel like a bad... I think that there is a level of distrust now, because now he's expecting the American taxpayer to pay for it. And I just think that's the perfect solution. Get a promissory note from the Mexican government that you're going to reimburse us and give the man what he wants to run the country.
Although, Pastor, I would say this. I've said it a couple times. I think if a gigantic Ed McMahon check, you know, delivered check for $5 billion showed up at the Treasury to pay for the wall, the Democrats in Washington would still not agree to it. They said yesterday it was immoral. So $1 is immoral, $5 billion is immoral. I think both sides have absolutely painted themselves into a corner. I don't know. When you do that, you don't leave middle ground open for negotiation. I don't know how this works out.
And what happens is we wind up sounding just like your previous caller, John, with a lot of animosity and a lot of hatred on both parts, and all of this negativism is not going to solve anything. We've got to find a common ground. If we want to go ahead and yield and give the Dreamers citizenship and give President Trump his money for the wall, like Sean Hannity proposed last night, we've got to resolve this. Otherwise, we are no more than Neanderthals. People are just so divided. And just like the Word of God said, a house divided against itself, it will not stand. We are one nation under God. I remember reading that somewhere and singing that song when I was growing up.
That's right. You and I both.
We have forgotten that.
Yeah, you're right. No, and I think we get told I think there's some reality to it, but I think we're told that's our reality too. And then people say, okay, well, I'll just put that bit in my mouth and just pull that wagon. And you know, it takes people going, maybe it's not exactly that way. And Pastor, I appreciate your call, and call back soon. All right, we're out of here for this week. Short week.
Yeah, first week of the new year. Don't forget to change your calendar. Make sure you write the right year on your check, right?
Yes.
And check your smoke detector.
That's right. The sale of 9-volt batteries is through the roof right now. You can test those, of course, by dabbing them on your tongue to see if they're hot.
And there's Christmas items, like 90% off.
There you go. I'll see y'all at noon.